From scratch. Welcome to this week's From Scratch. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
So, Nigel, it's been an interesting week in that we have had the Learning Technologies Summer Forum, and I know that you were there and you were also at a Pluralsight event. And something else has happened this week, and that's which kind of ties together what we're going to talk about. So the analyst, Josh Bursin, he's written a piece about the future of kind of corporate learning now is more looking more like Netflix
TV.
And the TV experience.
Yeah.
And Skillsoft has launched Percipio, which is its new sort of platform, provides its content and data dashboard and learning journeys and things like this. So all of this has been going on this week. And then you were at the Pluralsight event.
Yeah.
So what I'd like to do is just lift the lid on all of these events and find the common theme, which I think is these platforms are really looking the part now, but nothing new has actually been done here. But it looks like it's just better user experience. So, and I want to talk to you about the Pluralsight event, because Pluralsight's an interesting company. It's still a content platform. It provides courses, mostly in the tech sector, but it's got an interesting model behind it. So why don't you tell us a bit about that and some of the things that you picked up from this event this week?
I'd love to. And I think there's something different going on, apart from the kind of superficial redrawing of the user interface. And some of this stuff is basically that, taking something that looked boring and making it look superficially attractive. But as soon as you click on a button, you're into, you know, same old, one layer down, nothing has changed. What I think excited me about Pluralsight is a different approach to learning. And it's therefore not just about content. And I don't think Pluralsight is just a content company. Here are a few things that are different. Rather like Netflix, it's a subscriber model. So you pay your subscription, and once you've paid your subscription, you have access to everything. It doesn't say you're only allowed this, or you have this type of contract, so you can only see this. It allows everybody to get access to everything once you've paid your subscription. Mm-hmm. So I think that's important. But the really different stuff is around these things. The first is the network of authors. I think Pluralsight is now 1,400 authors. They're experts in their field. And once you're an established Pluralsight author, you have autonomy and you have a stake in the success of the company, because Pluralsight divides up its revenue every month and a proportion of it goes to its authors depending on how much of their content was accessed. So there's a real incentive for it. So it doesn't say, okay, Martin, give us this, here's your 10 quid, clear off, which is the kind of content model of many of the providers. This is an ongoing partnership. So once you're in, you have every incentive to keep your stuff up to date, because the more people access your material, the more you build a followership in Pluralsight, the more you will earn, essentially.
Yeah.
And what that means is that Pluralsight is building relationships between their users and their experts. And in some ways, that is almost like having, you know, I have access to Martin Cousins. He is the world's leading expert on this bit of software, programming language, or this kind of data security. And he is going to keep me informed, not just once every year, but once every couple of weeks or once every month. So it's a different sort of relationship, and people build these kind of virtual communities online. So it's not just about content pumped out. And much of the content is that individual talking and describing. It's not content that's been worked on to take out the individual voice. Mm-hmm. They build the individual voice. They don't take the individual voice out. And I think that's extremely important. So it's you're not a kind of vanilla content provider, clear off. You're a voice and a personality and a character. The second thing is they've just introduced this mentoring system. So there's going to be a button, and if you want a bit more advice, you can press the button and they have a network, global network of mentors who will help you. And the mentors can set their fee per minute. And you can say, well, I'll go for this person, really expensive, but very, very well-known world person. Or I'll go for this one, never heard of her, but she's cheap, and see what she's like. So you can access mentoring on an hourly, quarter of an hourly basis to have a discussion, essentially, on where you're stuck, what more information you need. And they've got a package now that if a company wants to close that down, they don't want people to talk to outsiders because of, you know, intellectual property or whatever it is, the same system, when you press the button, it will be an internal expert who you can talk to. And obviously the charging model is slightly different, but you can create some internal revenue or money changing hands so that people's time isn't wasted. And the other thing they're doing is setting up this thing called channels, which allows you to focus different kinds of learning into a channel that is maybe a company-based channel or a team-based channel, rather like Slack, you know, allows you to set up channels. And that, to me, is different. So what it means is that far from being just a content delivery platform, it's actually engaging people in discussion, internal debate, while at the same time leaving the decisions to the individual to take responsibility. So it's actually sharing responsibility and choice, but within a kind of pre-selected world. This you might like. This is an area to think at. Very much like Netflix. And so Netflix is not ITV. It's not just, oh yeah, they're another provider like ITV. This goes on at 6 o'clock. I have never met anyone who subscribed to Netflix and dumped them. Oh, they're boring. Oh, it's a waste of time. Oh, I can get it out of the way. Everyone I've ever met who comes into Netflix is committed for life. You know, I started Netflix, I don't know, 3 years ago or something. And the very first month, I think my wife said, why are we paying this subscription every month? Disengage, you know, get rid of it. So I stopped. And then about a month later, we realized that that was a stupid thing to do. So I started again. We've been Netflix every month. And the things they suggest to us, the kind of quality of their own productions, the other stuff they make available, it's different to other kinds of content provision. And I think Netflix and Pluralsight are onto something very different and very interesting that points the way forward. And I kind of like that. And it is not just another content provider. For sure, it isn't just another content provider.
Okay, so the thing that interests me in this is, you know, that I think that Bersin's, you know, I agree with the fact that, you know, he says none of this is particularly new. You know, content providers in particular have got a challenge about how to renew their business models. Because I think that the, you know, if we are to believe the L&D need is not to go to a solution first, you know, Skillsoft really suffered from the fact that, you know, it has content libraries on intranets and no one's looking at them.
Yeah.
You know, so the thing for me is, well, better user experience, okay, but is that going to make people look at the content if it's not relevant? No. So this idea, and then of course it's packaged into things like learning journeys, which I think is just a euphemism for courses. It's basically saying there, you know, you do this, and then there's progress, and the idea is that you are to get from A to B. Whereas 90% of what goes on in workplace learning and performance needs is not to do with that, is it? It's to do with what you need right now, and you're probably going to look externally, ask someone, or you're going to look on the web. You're probably not going to dip into those content platforms.
It's true. But let me just say, in defense of learning journeys, when we did learning journeys on the BBC, in the BBC, on the intranet, what we did was that the purpose, the journey had an end point. And that's the problem with people use learning journey as a random set of programs. You know, what has that got to do with it? The learning journeys on the BBC were jobs. So, Martin, you want to be a studio manager. you need the following collection of skills to make yourself even